Author of the best seller, The Criminal Investigative Function of Investigators, edition number 3. Highly decorated member in his day, Joe, as far as the NYPD, including the most notable department, Medal of Valor. Joseph, great having you. I appreciate you coming on at a moment's notice. But, you know, the plan and everything else, and, you know, to me, it's all well and good, okay? It's going to take time to build it up. I get it. But to me, more of a statement could have been made. How? Well, you know what? You want to get the DA in the Manhattan DA in a photo op? That would be pretty good. Alvin Bragg. You want to get the governor there? Fine. Get Kathy Hochul. I mean, that would show signs of unity, right? You want to get a few members of the city council? Even better. None of that. And Adams unveils the plan, and here we go. So that's the latest. We'll see what happens. Give me your assessment, my friend. Thanks.
Well, sure. I mean, he did break it up into bite-sized pieces, right? So it was pretty comprehensive, the entire speech that he had. I sat and listened and watched it, took some notes. So he did cover a lot of things, which makes it easier to determine what things he left out, right? So to me, the biggest things that he left out was that there was no mention of going after the gangs. That's the lion's share of all the shootings, right? So I don't know the percentage, but I can guarantee it's pretty high of all the shootings and all the violence that you're seeing in New York City. The gangs are at the front and center of it, whether it's drug gangs or street gangs, whatever it may be. So he made no mention of that. And also the fact that he made no mention of prosecutors not prosecuting. You know, he might have tiptoed around that and didn't want to bring that up yet because he's trying to keep everybody, I guess, on the same page or keep a friendly manner. He didn't go after them. But he did go after the bail reform. He did talk about discovery. But once again, he didn't talk about that you can still get bail for carrying an illegal firearm, right? So to me, that seems to me the no-brainer thing here. So if we're going to tweak bail reform in regards to the discovery and regards to, you know, access to crime scenes and all that, that's great. I've been calling for that since before this thing even hit the market, so to speak. The issue that comes down to is that if people are still going to be caught with a gun and then just released, that's a major problem when you still have gun violence. So those two things I thought were pretty glaring, right? Not the gangs and not talking about the prosecutors, but of course the bailable offense thing. So all in all, I mean, a lot of the other parts that he came up with, they're going to take years, right? So he's talking about this violence interrupter program. That's all fine, well, and good. The social programs that he mentions in his speech keeps the activists happy that, you know, that they're still going to be included in all this other stuff. So I think that's why he made sure he kept that part of it in there. But that's going to take years to get up and running. So I mean, you need to have some boots on the ground now. Yeah, go ahead.
No, you're right. I mean, listen, is it a refreshing type of deal as far as what we saw from the last guy? You know, with his regime, yeah, absolutely. Because, you know what de Blasio would do. He'd blame it on everybody else. He'd blame it on the virus. You know, he'd blame it on Washington, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, to me, it's about getting people on board here, you know. I mean, how tough, Joe, will it be to convince lawmakers? You know, we talk about it all the time, from Albany on down, city council and everything else. I mean, to me, that's the most difficult part of any of this stuff. When you put out new legislation, especially if you're talking bail, right? Firearms and everything else. You're right, 100%. He left it. No mention of it at all. But that, to me, is the toughest part of it all. The fact of convincing the lawmakers. And we know, you know, we know it's like banging down a steel door, you know, trying to get anything through based on the political process that everybody goes through these days, you know? That's going to be the toughest part of this whole thing.
Well, and putting that aside, how about just the fight and the pushback he's already getting from the city council, right? So there's plenty of members of the city council that are already pushing back on his plan of basically the aggressive policing. And, you know, he talked about new tools, but he didn't name those new tools. So, of course, everybody's jumping to conclusions. I mean, they might be right, but speculating that, you know, about, you know, facial recognition and all these other things that they're going to be using. So he's going to have fights within his own city. And I think he set a trap for him. I think he absolutely set a trap. He left out that part of it. And now people are really showing their true colors. and they're coming public with, you know, their own plans and their own concerns, so that they can, the public can then identify exactly who is behind, you know, holding this sort of plan up. And I think that was intended by design.
So, Jacqueline, as far as the plan, as far as the plan by Eric Adams, and obviously the intensification is of it all from Friday night in Harlem with the two police officers, one dead, one clinging to life. Yesterday, the shooter, LaShawn McNeil, died from his injuries. But in essence, you know, you look at everything, Joe, as far as the police are concerned. And to me, you know, until we start embracing the men and women in blue, and you look at some of these cities around the country, and I saw some of these numbers, you know, homicides last year. Chicago leading the way, nearly 800. Philly right behind them. New York City right behind Philly. L.A., 400 or so. Even Minneapolis, about 100 homicides. These are all record numbers for these cities. These are cities, folks, that have put defunding police at the very top of agendas. And that's why you have seen these elevations, Joe, in crime. I mean, listen, it's not rocket science. It really isn't. You know, less police means more mayhem. And that's what it's all about. I mean, it's such a simple process, Joe. It really is. Frustrating, though.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's one of the things that he also talked about that should be highlighted is that, you know, bringing a monthly meeting together with the DAs and sitting down with, I guess it would be with Banks as the deputy mayor of public safety or whatever his title is. Now, that's all good in theory, but he has really no control over the DAs and he can't force them to any meetings. So that will be interesting to see if they show up to these meetings or send somebody, you know, a surrogate there, you know, to deal with these meetings. I think coming from the mayor, I think it would be, you know, would behoove them, because once again, he can then out people who aren't participating in this. And if this plan doesn't work and things continue to spiral out of control, I think he could stop pointing fingers. And what he could also do is that, like you said, he didn't blame de Blasio for leaving a giant mess. But after listening to what he was talking about, the mess that he left is probably a lot bigger than most of us imagine. I mean, he's still talking about the backlogs and the shape that of our court system. And I remember de Blasio talking about that for at least a year and a half. And meanwhile, either nothing was done or very little was done to try to alleviate that. So there are a lot of things that we probably don't know below the surface that's really contributing to this. And I give Adams credit for not, like you said, pointing his finger to his predecessor like many have done before and blame everything on them.
You know, listen, I do give him a lot of credit. I mean, and listen, unfortunately, it took an incident of magnanimous proportions as what happened in Harlem Friday night for him to actually kind of set and facilitate the way it has. But you know what? It is what it is. And the fact of the matter is, you know, he is getting ready to battle. And if you're not going to battle, then you know what? You're going to feel it. You're going to feel it during an election. And that's what's going to happen here. Because to me now, the onus is on this governor. The onus is on this governor of how she is going to react here. Okay? How she's going to react, Joe, that is the key. And quite frankly, I'm not encouraged at all as far as Kathy Hochul standing in unison with Eric Adams on this. I have to, you know, actions speak louder than words. I have to see it from my own eyes if Hochul is going to stand behind Eric Adams on this. And that'll be a very big key. Big key. Go ahead.
Eric Adams has given her, you know, kind of put her in a position where she has to, you know, either say something or do something about his request, basically, to look at the bail reform and change things and do this. And if you remember, when the last commissioner, Shea, brought up all the bail reform issues, I mean, he was skewered in the media for it, right? They really went after Shea and blamed him, said there was no evidence and blah, blah, blah. I mean, they really went after him. So far, it's been silent since Adams has brought it up, because I think people are starting to realize that not all of the bail reform, but many parts of it, or a number of parts of it, have not been good. And I think people are starting to realize, as, you know, they're educating themselves. I mean, a lot of times I ask people when they talk about, oh, bail reform, have you read bail reform? They just think that it's bail reform where it just has to do with somebody gets arrested and money put up. You know, it is a lot of different moving parts that were pushed into this bail reform that people are either grossly ignorant of or don't care. And it's just something that is really important to make sure that people look at it and raise the age. He brought that up. It's the same thing I wrote. And if you look at the last couple of op-eds I wrote, it's actually ironic, some of the parallels that we see, like the raise the age. I mean, it's just, he talks about raise the age as gangs are using the kids because they know they're not going to get charged with felonies for carrying guns. I don't know if that's true or not, because he doesn't present any evidence or statistics on that, but I'm going to take his word for it at this point, because as a, you know, when I was a cop, they were doing this back then. They were using them as basically drug mules too. So if you caught a 12-year-old or a 13-year-old with drugs, there really wasn't going to be anything, you know, done with it. So if they're using them for guns, I don't see that as being a far stretch. But you know, it talks. You know, he talks a lot of different things. I mean, like I said, there are city council members that are trying to get the NYPD out of stopping cars and doing vehicle traffic, as you know. And how do you think they're going to stop the flow of guns and what he refers to as the iron pipeline, right? Which we can get into another day, because that's a long story. People don't know the history and they keep on bringing it up. But, you know, how do you think they're transporting guns into the city? They're bringing them in vehicles. But if you want, you actually have city council members, Brad Lander being one of them, we'll call him out right now, that wants the NYPD to stop doing car stops. This has been going on for months, maybe even years. So how do you remove the police from that function and then expect to go after people carrying guns when you know the most way that they're doing it is through cars? It's just sometimes you just want to take your head and bang it against the wall.
It'll remind people of the Bloomberg days, right? The stop and frisk policies. And here we go again with those controversies and discussions, you know? I mean, enough is enough, okay? Somehow, some way, you have to disrupt here, okay? You have to disrupt. And I'm sorry, you know, if people are going to be sensitive to this stuff from way back, you know, that is over. That stuff is over. We got to do what we got to do to keep people safe here, okay? We got to keep cops safe. We got to let cops do their jobs. And that's the biggest thing right now, okay? So that's, to me, what it's all about. Let's see what happens here. But I'll tell you this. You know, you got a DA, you got a city council, and you got a governor. And you wonder if they're on the same team. You really wonder. At this point in time, I say no. They're not on the team. They really aren't. And the question is, how much pressure, based on yesterday and Eric Adams and his plan, will be put on those individuals? That will be the key in the next couple of weeks, Joe. That will be the key to see. So,
well, like we say, that's in the pudding, right? So we there was lots of talk. We now have a plan. Now we have to put the plan into action. And it includes everybody, including the federal government, all the way down to, you know, the civilians that are living within the city, and then those who are going to be participating in the violence interrupter program. So he talked about being inclusive and getting everybody to do it. Well, this plan has everything in it. But like I said, if people think it's going to be up and running tomorrow, no. The only thing that will be up and running tomorrow is the police. That is the bottom line that we're dealing with here. The police are going to be the first ones that are going to have to hit this head on, and you have to then deal with the consequences if something goes wrong. And is he willing to deal with that? I guess he is, but God forbid something does go wrong, there's going to be problems. So we'll see what happens. I wish him the best. I want him to see him succeed. Don't we all want Eric Adams and his plans to succeed? I mean, the thing that we want him to fail is crazy, right? People's lives are at risk at this, and we want him to do well.
After what we have been through the last 8 years with that buffoon, you know what? We all have to get behind this guy. You know, there's no question we want him to succeed. Just like want the president of the United States to succeed. But, you know, forget it. How he is handling things, it's almost impossible. But Eric Adams, I give a solid chance of him turning it around. And I just hope everybody's on the same page, like I've been saying. Joe, can't thank you enough for a couple here. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you Friday in your usual time slot, my friend. Appreciate it all. Good stuff.
Anytime. Have a good one.